Last week's budget deal, in some sense, created more questions than it answered. Like, how exactly will that top-line $300 billion increase get allocated over 2 years? The deal seemed diabolically timed to coincide with the White House's proposal for 2019. Here to help us sort out the short term, roll call senior editor David Hawkins. And I guess you could say the budget comes out and the budget immediately gets shot at.
Right. So the reaction, I got to tell you, the reaction in my newsroom, I heard somebody say, budget smudge it, which is just essentially to say this document is outdated the moment it got put in the cardboard boxes and shipped to Capitol Hill, because almost all of the budget was assembled before that budget deal was cut. There was then a hastily assembled sort of addendum that's supposed to explain how the president would respond to this extra spending. Mick Mulvaney, the head of OMB, is emphasizing that what that budget deal was that Congress sent Trump on Friday and that the president signed on Friday sets budget ceilings, not floors. But of course, we all know that Congress has rarely met a ceiling that it didn't want to push up against.
So both sides are saying that the other side's assumptions or deals are dead on arrival.
Well, right. I mean, I think that this budget really will not have much to do with the deliberations ahead. I mean, and when I say that, I should add that, you know, for federal workers and people who are interested in really the minutia of agencies and programs, sure, there are dozens of smaller, uncontroversial agencies and programs that probably what's in the budget will probably look pretty similar to what's being spent currently and probably look pretty similar to what is going to be spent not only in fiscal 18, which now must be finished, but in fiscal 19 that the budget is for. So just to review, because I have to say this in my own head several times to get it straight, fiscal 18, this budget deal means that appropriators now have 1 month till the end of March to finish nailing in place the final, the line-by-line spending items for fiscal 18, which will at the end of March will be half over, and then they have 6 months, in theory, to come up with all the appropriations decisions for fiscal 19, which begins on October 1st, which, of course, is 1 month before the election. And even with this extra spending, which acts as a sort of a form of political grease, which is supposed to make the process easier, Congress is so unpracticed at getting things done on time that you got to looking ahead, you've got to expect that they'll figure out a way to slow it down sooner or later.
So the 2019 proposal is out there. It's interesting, but the real action on the Hill now, then, it's safe to say, is how to allocate in detail that deal that they signed last week, the CR. The CR is the CR, but also it was a kind of a hybrid bill because we also had the 2018 and 2019 agreement. So they'll deal with 2018 right now.
They'll deal with 2018 right now. They have essentially 13% more to spend than they did by law as of a week ago. One has to assume that if when they make those allocations and pick those winners and losers, that will offer a pretty good hint as to what's going to happen in fiscal 19 when they have yet another 13%. I mean, this is an enormous amount of additional spending, which by historic standards, going up, I mean, depending on how you count it, you can count it as two 10% increases or two 13% increases. Either way, two large back-to-back increases in spending that should provide an ease, a comfort, it should be, as I say, a grease to get this done. And what they do for fiscal 18, which is what they're supposed to do in the next month, should be the window into how 19 is going to go as well.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor of Roll Call. But just to be technically accurate, the CR is still in effect. And so the other part of that bill last week with the big increases is not yet appropriated yet. That they have to do between now and the deadline for the CR, correct?
Exactly right.
Anything else they're going to be working on the Hill besides all of that?
Well, so most of the, I would say, more attention was getting spent on Monday to the president's, what passes for an unveiling of his infrastructure idea, and how that nets up with the budget, is going to be complicated. The president is talking about wanting to spend about $200 billion to leverage all this other private investment. That is going to be the one real policy debate that might sort of at least get off the ground. I'm skeptical that it will happen this year. I think that this notion of leveraging that much public money that much public money in return for so much more, four times as much private money, is not the kind of thing that the Democrats are going to reach out and want to collaborate on. But it is the one thing that passes for a new policy initiative. Then, of course, they have immigration that they're starting this week. The Senate is doing what they don't do much anymore, which is having an actual wide-open debate, doing what the Senate was traditionally designed to do, which is sort of a freewheeling debate on a topic, whether that will lead to any legislation that can pass with a bipartisan filibuster-proof majority of 60, still an open question. Even if it can, another open question, whether Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, will put such a bill before the House, whether it could pass the House. But so really what we're seeing right now is the throes of a little bit of policy making for the next couple of weeks before what I think will end up being a relatively very, very modest year of legislating between now and the election, with some grinding work on the appropriations process that we discussed a few minutes ago being what dominates.
And on that infrastructure idea, I mean, the federal government typically does not build roads and bridges. It lets contracts to do that for federal highways.
That's right.
Would be involving local entities, state entities, and their contractors. And I guess when they talk about leveraging private money, maybe the Democrats have visions of easy pass overhead radar readers on Memorial Bridge.
Maybe they do, right? Turning over public roads to private interests. I think it's an ambitious thing that in an election year when the president, and of course we haven't even mentioned what we should always mention when we sort of discuss the months ahead, which is all this policy making aside, that's all going to come to a potentially screeching halt if there is more news from the independent, from the special prosecutor. You know, I mean, there are lots of reasons why this could grind to a halt, but quick.
But at this point, it looks as if this immigration debate that would include DACA, it doesn't seem like it's going to get into the budget machinery at this point anymore.
No, I think those two things have now been separated out. Now what you see is essentially Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, the Republican leader, making good on the handshake deal that ended the longer of the two government shutdowns. Of course, we had a five-hour shutdown last week. We had a three-day shutdown a few weeks before that. That slightly longer shutdown ended when Mitch McConnell and the Democrats agreed that there would be a freewheeling debate on immigration. And at that point, the Democrats sort of held their fire on shutting the government down. And now Mitch McConnell is making good on that promise. But yeah, I think they are disconnected, the immigration debate and the budget debate.
David Hawkins is senior editor of Roll Call. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Find more and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.